Good morning, I'm Ellen Defendingham from the Eastern Gate. I'm a bright one this morning. Not up on PMG.
PMG, yeah. Not on the song, you say.
No.
Because, yeah, Marihari, if we can make it follow, yeah, I know you want to write. this thing that we must ask the IDC for money so that we can upgrade the funds. Before 1999, I thought we'd take some time to come and do this. Members, is it fine for that, like that, or? Okay. All right, I see the two of you are sitting next to each other, so you have maybe there was some conference going ahead.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. No.
I like
to be
hustling around.
Okay. But I think the two leaders must have taken the leadership of putting other interests first. So thank you, Mr. Harris. Mr. Bia?
Thank you. This is the same fund management. We manage funds, not on a commercial basis, but we manage funds for government departments and also for sometimes our foreign funds or other people who want to make development funds available in South Africa, and we have the expertise and the skill to manage those on their behalf. We also provide some non-financial interventions. So we provide some business support for some of the businesses where they don't have relevant experience. And we also provide capacity building services, and that's mainly to assist the DFI in South Africa and also the rest of the African continent. Our obvious main customer is business. We can't do anything without going through businesses. They are the ones who create the jobs that we have to facilitate by working together with them and providing funding. Government is not just our shareholder and where we get our policy from. We also see government as a customer because we do manage those funds that I mentioned. We do make inputs and perform some research on the new text. And I spoke about the capacity building and that we work with other DFIs. We get involved from very early stages of the business all the way to established businesses that want to expand. And we're involved with a large number of sectors of the economy, but we focus on the productive value-adding sectors. So we don't do areas like, for example, property development, retail, and so on. We want to encourage, as a sector development DFI, we want to focus attention and make sure that we drive our industrial policy and that the right industries get developed to add value. We provide a wide range of products ranging from equity to debt. A lot of our funding tends to be long-term because of the tax. Needs of the industries we support. But we do provide some short-term facilities. For example, there are times when people get a government tender and they need a guarantee or some form of short-term finance to get off the ground. We, as South African institutions, about our investments do happen in South Africa, but we are located in the African continent. We want to see increasing integration across the continent, and we do invest in our neighboring countries, in fact, all across the continent. The exception to investing in Africa is when there's a foreign company that wants to import South African capital equipment. Then we would look at possibly funding them wherever they are in the world, provided that money is used for the South African built equipment. On this next slide, we previously presented substantially the slide to you, so I'm not going to necessarily go through details, but I just want to highlight in particular the changes and touch on one or two other things. We've changed one word in our list. From supporting industrial capacity development to leading industrial capacity development. And it's, like I said, one word, but we see it as quite significant. We see our role not just as playing a supporting role, we want to be at the forefront. We want to make sure that the country moves in the direction it needs to go forward to be a leading player internationally. In terms of the outcome, job creation has stayed a priority for IDC. The job creation happens sometimes directly through the investments we make, but as you'll see later, I talk through the presentation, we unlock value through the value chain, and that creates jobs in other sectors as well. And we are not unhappy if other people come in and fund business, which we have made possible, because that has a positive impact on the country. There are areas like regional equity where we try to make sure there's a fair distribution of investment across the country and activity. Mm-hmm. we need to look at the different comparative advantages we've got in different provinces and make sure we use each of them. But I want to highlight in particular the one which has changed. We changed the wording from expansionary and broad-based black economic empowerment to transformational impact on communities and growing black industries. What we have found is that we invest in these projects throughout the country, often medium to large investments. And often these businesses become almost islands in that area. Sometimes they don't integrate sufficiently with the local community, sometimes they don't pass on business to local SMEs. And it's something that we want to try and influence very consciously going forward. We want to work with the companies that invest in to make sure that they do actually look at sourcing from local businesses, that they do look at how the community will be impacted on a positive basis. The other element of this is growing black industrial. Black economic empowerment is a national priority, but it's not enough for black people to be portfolio investors. It's not enough for black people to be purely in the retail trade. They need to get involved in the core of the economy. If we really want to change our industry, we have to make sure we're using all our human resources to achieve what we need to achieve, which is why we got more explicit in our strategy in terms of growing black industry. We've repackaged our strategy, so you may recall some of the things which are in here from our previous presentation, but some of the areas are new. And what we have done, the areas where we have made good progress, we dropped them out of the strategy as we operationalize so that we can make sure we keep focusing on improving our operations and our focus areas. The two main areas that we look at in broad terms is our industrial development impact, which is the core of what we do. But we need to make sure that we are sustainable in the long term. And we are talking about as IDC and as a country. So we need to look at our financial capital to make sure that we manage our risk and our returns, because we need to fund ourselves and fund our growth. But we also need to make sure that we're developing people, that we're having a positive impact on our economy and so on. In terms of increasing our development impact, we have developed strong sector development strategies, focused strategies on a sector basis. Those strategies are aligned with the New Growth Path and the Industrial Policy Action Plan. Now that the NDP has been adopted, we are incorporating key elements of that into our strategy. The NDP is a lot wider than the NDP and IPAC, so not all areas of the NDP impact directly on IDC, but the goals are clearly something we need to align with, and the areas which are relevant to industrial policy, we need to make sure that we are talking to them. We need to be proactive in what we do. So the project development, we need to make sure the projects are implemented. We need to make sure that we are building effective value chains and we are building, strengthening regional integration. This applies looking also across the borders of South Africa. If we want to become an internationally competitive country, we need to make sure that we are being in partnership with some of our surrounding countries. We need to look at the natural advantages, we need to look at the bigger markets we can create, so that we can compete effectively with whether it's Europe, China, or whichever other area. What you may recall in the last year, in April 2012, Samas and Kula merged and became a subsidiary of IDC to focus on small business. So we've explicitly added that into our strategy, that we must make sure that they are effective in what they do. This is something that we take extremely seriously. We know that there's a significant challenge for small businesses in South Africa. IDC tries to encourage entrepreneurship and small business development, but as an institution, we're not geared to have that type of impact. But through our partnership with CIFA, we can make sure that there's a better integration between industrial development and small business development. And we need to work very closely together on that. In terms of that, we are helping to capitalize FIFA. but we also have been providing assistance with them in terms of developing efficient systems and so on to make sure that they are in a position to roll out and have the impact that they need to have. On the financial capital, I'm not going to talk in detail, but to the extent, I just want to touch on the background to this, why we have highlighted this in particular. Since the economic crisis hit, IDB took a decision that we can't cut back as an institution. We need to keep investing. The banks were pulling back. The needs in the country kept growing. So we needed to keep putting money into the economy. But we needed to do that on a responsible basis. So we need to make sure that we are pricing appropriately. We need to make sure that we are managing our risk so that we can remain sustainable. We are also growing our book. We are, and when we do come to report on our performance for the last year, you'll see that over the last 2 years we have substantially grown our level of investment, even in the difficult economic times. But that means we have to be extremely careful that we are pricing appropriately, that we are managing those businesses, our investments appropriately. If we are going to do more, and if we are going to be more proactive, we need to make sure we've got the right people. We need to make sure we've got the right skills to drive what we need to be doing. I mentioned earlier that we do things through business, government, and so on. Customer service has to be core to what we do. We can't sit in an island and do things by ourselves. So we have to keep improving the way we serve our customers. And one of our main focus areas there is our turnaround times. We've received feedback, in fact, from this committee as well in the past, that that is something that we need to pay attention to. We've also received that feedback from some of our clients. So in particular around customer service, we had a focus on improving our turnaround times, and we have seen some progress in that regard. We need to work with others, and I'll talk more about partnerships later. We need to work with other development institutions, we need to work with the commercial banks. We've got different strengths, but we need to make sure as much money goes into the right businesses to support the country's development. We need to work with industrialists and different sector players. The area which I've spoken a bit more about in the previous slide is building a strong community. It's something we are going to pay significant attention to going forward, and that's an area we see opportunities to partner with CIFA specifically as well. South Africa has one of the worst reputations for its impact on the environment in the world. We are one of the most wasteful uses of energy in the world. It's starting to change with the increased electricity prices. But as IDC, we need to make sure that we, ourselves, by setting an example, but in particular through the businesses we work with, we need to make sure that we don't have a negative environmental impact. In fact, we need to see that we have positive environmental impact as far as possible. I've mentioned that we work in the context of the New Growth Path, the NDP, and the Industrial Policy Action Plan. Over the last 2 years, we've been steadily aligning our operations to support the private sector. In this page, you'll see the form of it looks yellow on your screen. Those are the New Growth Path priority areas, and the smaller circles are the Industrial Policy Action Plan focus areas. Besides the Industrial Policy Action Plan specifically, we do work with other departments outside of the DPI in some of their focus areas, for example, tourism. We are organized by sector. I spoke a little bit about our sector focus, our sector development strategy, and what I'll do over the next with these slides and just highlight a few of the focus areas that we see going forward. We know that if we want to build a competitive manufacturing base, the upstream products have to be available and they have to be available competitive. So one of our focus areas is the steel industry. We're looking at various types of interventions, looking at developing steel, a strong steel industry, looking at introducing competition. Our agro industry, if we want to make sure that we develop our rural areas to our focuses and make sure that we develop all regions of the country, we need to make sure that we have agro-businesses which actually pull resources from the farms so that the farms have a reliable source of income. And I'll give one or two examples of that as well later. We have, in the last 3 years, started to focus on green industries, and we have already started making having a significant impact on the country in areas like renewable energy. We've been steadily growing in areas like energy efficiency, but we need to grow areas like emissions and pollution mitigation, and we will hear a little bit more about what we're doing in terms of biofuels. To support some of these things, we need to make sure that there is the right logistics and infrastructure support. So we have a unit which focuses on some of those areas. Textiles, you know, is a difficult industry in South Africa. Our focus there is to try and increase the competitiveness of the industry. So we are working very closely with the DTI to make sure that businesses modernize themselves so that they can focus on niche areas and run successful businesses. In forestry and wood products,
it doesn't help yet, but it's used to talk every time. It's a time clock of time between the two. So that doesn't mean that, I think the reason why we did that is for the gym is not to fall asleep like a priest or something. And then there's a video every time.
Should I take it as an interim and come to a quick?
No, it's just three or seven times instead of the priest.
Forestry, we know that there are, for infrastructure, we're going to need more wood products. We know that there are regions, particularly in the Eastern Cape and cases in where there is land available suitable for forestry, which is underutilized. So we're working closely with local communities to develop some of those areas. Metals, we know, again, through the infrastructure program, there are going to be major opportunities for inputs. But also areas like automotive components. If we are building a strong automotive industry, we need to make sure we localize as much as possible some of those components. On chemicals, we know that we've got a strong upstream sector through the refineries and companies like Sasol. We've got some elements of a downstream sector, but we need to make sure we build a strong value chain so that we can be competitive throughout the chemical sector. Tourism, a year ago, we shifted our focus from looking largely at hotels to moving towards looking at undeveloped tourism nodes and looking at domestic tourism to try and create destinations. On the ICT sector, we know that there are things like set-top boxes which are coming in, which we want to support. Broadband, you know, is a necessity of the modern way of doing business. So we need to support that. Under healthcare, we are moving towards national health systems so that we need to make sure that the hospitals are equipped through looking at things like PPPs. But we need to make sure that we keep our costs competitive, that we can provide local pharmaceuticals and medical devices to meet our needs. We are trying to create a vibrant and strong food production industry in South Africa, and we are looking throughout the value chain, looking at food production, looking at developing audiences and making sure that we've got things like the development of the food production and so on. The next slide talks to how we are allocating our funds for the next 5 years. If you look by business unit, you'll see the biggest area that we are investing in is mining and minerals beneficiation. What we are trying to do in particular within that sector, traditionally they have invested there largely in mining. We are trying to encourage a shift while we will keep supporting mining. We want to make sure that as much of the minerals are beneficiated locally as possible. And as I touched on our steel strategy earlier, that's sitting within that allocation as well. If you look at the broader sectors, manufacturing as a whole is our main focus area. chain and green industries. One of the things that I stressed, some of the areas which look relatively small here, for example, media and motion pictures, venture capital and so on, textile, it doesn't mean that it's any less important to us. It's just that those tend to be the less capital intensive areas, so the amount of money we allocate tend to be smaller. If we want to be leaders in industrial capacity development, we have to be proactive, we have to have those clear strategies, we have to work with different role players. And I'll just give a few examples of some of the things that we are currently doing in line of supporting that. We are supporting the renewable energy program in generation. If we want to create that industrial capacity, we have to make sure, as I mentioned, that we produce the components locally. We know that a lot of the wind farms are going to come up in the Eastern Cape, so we're looking at an investment in a wind power factory in the Eastern Cape, which will support localizing productions, helping to create a new industry on the back of the government's renewable energy program. The DTI has a strong focus in line with ICAP on developing a motor industry. So we are supporting a number of companies which are looking at local components so that more of the vehicles that we produce locally, a larger proportion of it, are actually made of locally manufactured components. Small metals is something relatively unusual in what we traditionally do, but it's a key part of our localization and skill strategy. Where we've actually acquired a company, but this company's scope is key to providing components for areas like the rail industry as they roll out the infrastructure. There are opportunities for providing into railway power generation a wide range of different areas and making our steel sector more competitive. At this stage, maybe I'll hand over to Noam, maybe to touch a little bit about what we're doing in terms of our bioethanol strategy.
Thank you, Shaheem. From an IDP point of view, we've been spearheading and supporting government on the biofuel climate strategy of 2007. And this effort, we've developed a project in the Eastern Cape in the Fredoc, which will process grain sorghum to build the first biofuel plant for 100 million liters per annum. That project is in the early stages of construction at the moment. However, we're waiting for two important regulatory issues to be sorted out, and that being the effective date for the mandatory upliftment of biofuel that will provide the market whereby the oil companies would be mandated to uplift locally produced bioethanol from licensed producers. And the second regulatory thing we're looking at is the incentive for the bioethanol plants on its own. Bioethanol plants are not profitable, so we need an incentive mechanism. I think in the budget speech earlier this year, the Minister of Finance announced a 3.5 to 5 cent fuel tax levy to fund the incentive pool that will be paid out to future biofuel producers to a maximum of 2% penetration in the national fuel pool. That equates to a volume of 400 million liters per annum. And this first plant only produced 100 million liters, and obviously future plants are envisaged from commercial operators as well. The NEC will be used to kickstart the industry. The project will create about 3,200 jobs, mainly in the agriculture, in the factory, and in the logistics chain. And the ethanol will be shipped to all the major refineries to be blended in fuel. The ethanol provides oxygen and fuel. At the moment, we import what we call MTBE to provide oxygen for fuel to burn effectively. The introduction of bioethanol will displace imported MTBE, which will be a savings for the country on the balance of payments as well. And bioethanol is also what we call a fuel extender. That means it adds volume. It does not only supply oxygen, it also supplies
to add to that, this is a good example of what I was talking about, where we try to impact in communities. Through developing this project, we are trying to grow sorghum in areas where the agricultural land is relatively undeveloped, underutilized, so we don't displace food products. But a large proportion of what we want to use as a feedstock is actually going to produce by small farms in the area.
Yeah, if I might just add to that, the bioethanol is not the only product. The byproduct of bioethanol is also a high protein animal feed. So the plant will produce both bioethanol and animal feed, which is called DDGS, digestible grain products, which goes back into the feed into the animal feed industry. And the area in Cradock is a dairy farming area, and has a heavy dependence on imported animal feed at the moment. So the plant would provide animal feed products close to the source, thus saving also inbound transport costs.
I mentioned the need for broadband and internet access. We support businesses to actually expand the provision of internet access so that our industry can be more competitive. We need to make sure that as we have this development impact, that it's sustainable. It doesn't hardly create jobs as the business goes under within a year. We need to make sure that these businesses last and they expand. We need to make sure that they have a positive impact on our environment, as I mentioned, on the communities around them, and they're able to be paid. So we want to make sure that we operate responsibly, that we crowd in funding from the private sector and other DFIs, that we support each other. I've spoken about impact on the communities and I've touched on development of small businesses, which we are going to be working very closely together with CIFA to make sure that happens. But even after we invested, we need to make sure that we know what those businesses are doing so we can be a positive influence. And if they run into problems, that we can solve them. One of the areas which is a national challenge is making sure that there is development throughout our country. Now, we are an industrial capacity development organization, and we know that industry in South Africa is concentrated. And we do, to some extent, by nature of that, invest more in areas like Gauteng, Cape Town, and Durban. But we need to very consciously make sure that we have a wider distribution of investment. So that means looking at the different areas. What are their comparative strengths? So can we develop tourism in some areas? Can we develop a stronger agro-processing base in some areas, for example? And we need to make sure that we're looking not just at different provinces, but looking at the urban versus rural split. We need to make sure that we pull in other businesses into that area so that they can also benefit from downstream and upstream investments that we make. Every time presented here, I've been very pleased to be able to say that we've been expanding our network of offices. We've now got 22 offices around the country in total. I think it was 2 months ago we opened the last office that we've opened to date in Mahikeng, and we intend to keep opening offices on a need basis. And these offices are important because it helps give people access to us. So there is a sense that people can talk to in various areas of the country. If we look at something we've done in terms of rural development through agro-processing, soya is something that IDC imports on a substantial scale. It's used for animal feed, it's used for industrial sectors, it's an important source of protein. But there is no reason why we can't be producing that in South Africa. So our focus area is to develop South African soya industry so that we produce the coke, we process it, we store it, and we utilize it for our local downstream businesses. In the Eastern Cape, we supported a dairy to be set up, and that dairy is sourcing from local black farmers who now have demand for their products. So far, the project, in fact, has been successful. in the third round of it. IDC has been actively participating in the program from the start. We've been working at all stages from developing projects all the way up to providing debt funding. And we are one of the major players that fund us to this industry. But what's important about our role here that I want to highlight is that in virtually all of these projects that I'm talking about, we've supported shareholding for the local community over and above any other funding that we have provided. I have spoken about our need to support a positive impact on our environment. Because we work closely with industry, it's possible for us to have an influence on businesses. It's possible for us to really engage on their business plan to try and encourage them to be more energy efficient, to be more friendly. We've launched things like green energy efficiency funds to support businesses in becoming more energy efficient in their operations. A good example of this is the company we supported, SA Calcium Carbide in Newcastle. They're producing calcium carbide, only producers in the African continent. And they produce a lot of waste heat. So we funded the installation of a cogeneration facility so that they're using their waste to actually produce electricity so they would less reliance and putting less pressure on our national grid. Recycling is something that we want to encourage. We don't have a recycling culture in South Africa. There's a lot of paper, plastics, glass, all sorts of materials which is being wasted. We need to make better use of these rather than putting them in landfills. Nothing that we do as IDP can we do on our own. We need to have the right partners. So for example, we work closely with the DTI, and then these are just a few examples that are mentioned here, working on developing the clothing and textile sector. We know that there's a challenge in terms of skills and education in the country, which means that a strain put on technology, which is put on artisans and so on, which are needed for our industry. So we are supporting 20 schools across the country in support of the basic education accord. We work very closely with provincial governments. I mentioned we've got offices throughout the country, each one is led by a regional manager. And what we've been finding increasingly is that we've been working more closely with the provincial government. In fact, some of them have been involving us in the development of their provincial strategies. And that helps because then we have integrated plans, we're all pulling in one direction. We work with DFIs throughout the continent and in fact throughout the world. We recently launched business plan competitions and we ran one with the Soweto branch of the BMS, which we're going to roll out across the country. We work with organizations like the Land Bank, the Development Bank and so on to make sure that we have the type of impact that we need to have. As we do all this, we need to make sure that IDC stays financially sustainable. We need to make sure that we have the right relationship with our clients, to manage them appropriately, to make the right investments. We need to make sure that we get an appropriate return. We don't make a profit on everything we do. We do subsidize some of our debt funding costs. And there are specific interventions we make in that respect. For example, the GROWE Fund is focused on job creation. Recently, we allocated funds for job creation by youth-owned businesses. And some of these we do cross-subsidize. But on an overall basis, we try to make sure that we balance our income with our subsidization. The next two slides talk to the targets that we have set for the current year. In terms of industrial capacity development, we need to make sure that we are developing priority sectors, that we are investing sufficient money in the economy. I spoke about our main outcome being job creation. So we want to make sure that we are, through our investments, creating jobs. What we measure here are only the direct jobs that we create. Our impact is a lot bigger if you include the indirect jobs, but it's very difficult to target for that because then it's too easy to manipulate that. So we put in our target what can be measured and what is it. We need to make sure, as I mentioned, that we are sustainable as we do those things. We need a somehow return type measures, but our main focus as an institution is industrial capacity development and development impact. We look at, I mentioned that we need to make sure we've got the right people, so we measure our staff turnover to make sure that we are keeping the right individuals. Our customer service is critical. We do surveys of our customers and we monitor how good our service is and which areas we need to improve. We've got a particular focus, as I mentioned, on some turnaround times. And CIFAR is something that we've included in terms of our specific targets for the first time in this year. In terms of where we are invested, by region, the biggest area we invested in is in Gauteng, but we try to make sure, even though it is the biggest area, in relative terms, we try and encourage that we invest in other areas as much as possible. One province where we have been having significant challenges, and I want to highlight this to the committee, is in the Free State. The structure of the economy is focused largely on agriculture and largely on cash crops, and we haven't managed to get sufficient traction in that province. It's something we are very conscious about that we need to do better, and we are paying attention to that. We're hoping that as we go forward, we will work together with the government and businesses in the province to make sure we can increase our impact there. Of course, in the other provinces where we are, I'm highlighting the Free State in particular, but we will continue to try to increase our level of investment in the various provinces. By industry, traditionally we have been to a large extent invested in mining, but if you look at the trends over the last 2 or 3 years, we've been growing our investments in areas like green. Manufacturing has always been strong and we want to grow that substantially, but we're seeing growth also in some of the services, areas like tourism and so on. Thank you for allowing me to do this presentation, and I think you might want to make some concluding remarks.
Thank you. Chair and members, we are operating in the times where the recession has been experiencing several challenges. Something that indicated is that in spite of that, we as the IDC have made a commitment that we need to continually increase the level of our investment. And that's what we are committed to do. However, we're not to be a change in place now. You see when we, by the end of this month, we should be presenting the financial book to Parliament, so there will be a copy, it should be clear that the level of investment has gone up. However, even if some of the companies that are experiencing some distress, there's also increased. So when we talk about sustainability, it is important that we always keep that in mind. However, we are very committed to support the government's objective since we're being a state-owned entity. We will not do this recklessly, but we want to continue to share that we discussed. So thank you, Chair, for allowing us. I know Shaki has taken almost an hour. I don't know. But with your permission, we are going to engage.
No, thank you very much, CEO. Few minutes. Don't worry, we've got a lot of time here. I don't know how fast you must be in yogurt, but the weather is good to stay in Cape Town. So, but it's nice, super cold weather in Cape Town today. Tonight, honorable, I mean, super cold weather. And some cold not here. And that's it. So the weather is good for that, so you can see how you can relax and take your time, and possibly you'll be invited to some super course if you have to stay open. Honorable members, thank you very much for the presentation, CEO and Mr. Mayor. Honorable members, it's now your turn. Honorable Van Dingen,
question. I'll tell a comment. I'll also reserve a comment. Two comments on the education today. The things of Arcus. So you can see. I'll reserve a comment on the composition of the education. The first request would be to the CEO.
Understand that you must not reserve in an offline CEO.
Not even offline, not even time for that. To the CEO, a special request for a list of SMEs funded since 2009, or let me confirm, a list of black SMEs funded since 2009 to March 2015, showing the area, the type, amount, gender. I'm sure gender will include different disabilities. That's the first request. Personally, if I could have that by Friday. The secondly, there's an issue that has been raised about the automotive sector. 3 or 4 years ago, the Eastern Cape, and there was a lot of funding because it was the recession of all these companies that manufacture components. We went to all of them, and they received funding of 100 million or 300 million. And at that time, I think they created 100 or 150, but it was certainly not to sustain, artisanal companies not to grow. Then we went to another factory, you will remember members, that was doing ice cream. Using pineapple, they opened the pineapple inside and make ice cream there inside. And it was employing about 1,400 people. And then they said, they've been knocking on government doors for 15 million. If they could get that 15 million, they would create 1,000. And we checked the priorities of government. How can you fund a company with 200 million that will create 100 jobs? And there's a company that is 50 million that will create 1,000 jobs. I'm certain to date that company has not been assisted. Unfortunately, you're going to the extent of tomorrow. Another thing that we want to find out is, well, I didn't hear about it. Do you do the tiny form of funding? Child. Well, you fund people to do business from imported products. You could give us examples if you have. This issue, I'll observe it a little bit, but it is. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a meeting with SMEs in Kitabere. Just talking. It's a very serious issue. And I'm sure we're going to talk about these issues with the CEO in a few weeks to come, about access to funding. You know? Some people take it otherwise. I know Honorable Sinclair has always approached me. In my meetings, I say to members, who has approached any department or any agency with a request for funding from the constituency and they succeeded? Who has? Of the members that I've spoken to, they say all these years, I personally take issues, whether it's IDC or any other agency, but nothing. Nothing has happened. So there is this issue about access to funding. What they said was the policies are there for the stakeholders. Look at IDC and say that there was intention to assist previous disadvantaged people. All those policies. But the challenge is the criteria. You can't meet the criteria. You take a person like me, I have an idea, he has a business plan, I have to make 8 million and so on. They can't come up with 5 million. I mean, I don't have 5 rights. And that 23% or 15% or what, they don't have that. Then they can use agents to just hold their arms and say, now, as it is on the table, we have everything, we can help you, this is, but the criteria, that's number one, and two, the process. Now it's in the process of automated machines, because it's been accessed through the opposition. So these are the things that people are raising. There's a company that we saw in Spain just a month or two ago, that has a partnership with IDC, and the project is another people.
Up in Goa.
We asked some serious questions there, and some of them could not be answered, then we said, well, I need to IDC. But one of the questions is, how many local SMEs are directly involved and benefit? At the first stage, I think we need to unpack what SMM is. So this is a small piece. We don't want to go further and explain what we've got a problem with somewhere. So that question is still remaining. We can say it often, say this company is not very different from the partnership. And I mean real business, not shooting and cleaning, you know, gardening and all that. The last issue would be access to offices. I come from Northern Africa, and I can name your offices. Meaning access not for people in wheelchairs, for ordinary people. Where I say, where you all don't know. Except you. If I had to go to an IDC office, I'm not paying. Really pay. Really pay. It's an effort. I'm going to an office to ask for money, but I use a lot of money to go to that office and not get assistance. In one meeting, I made one example that one person went to an office and or he was told that we received the application to come to the offices and was so excited to the offices. Then when he reached there, they said, you know, I'm going to be a consultant, you know, to assist you, do this and that and that. Can you set up an appointment for you to meet that consultant? So, okay. Then a date was set. Then you are off. I'll be 10 minutes. That's how the result is. This is what we mean by access to office. Lastly, Chair, is IDC, when IDC speaks, is it above the people? Would you go to an area where they say I'm IDC and they know me? And the things that you talk about that you do, they know them. The things that if they say IDC, we just think, you know, is IDC really rooted to the people that they know? This is a government agency helping us doing this thing. If not, I'll put a challenge. But in Tuesday, I'll be meeting with the CEO somewhat. I'm going to get an invite if you've not received one. You've got to be there with a good delegation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I want to raise my question on the wind tower that you see. It's like, if only you can keep that qualifying for this project. And I want to assure them that even in Limpopo, we have a front to be able to maybe end up helping us qualify for this Limpopo project. And maybe I hope they forget to write it. And I believe they will prevent that when I think it is for Limpopo. On the issue of the office, even though Dr. Mede covered me, but I want to say if they can consider taking the offices into the rural areas, because we have places like Bokom, whereby it only takes a few minutes to go to Bokom and take the office and question. It's been a very interesting presentation. Very impressive, but I'm sure it almost looks like last year's presentation. Because there's going to be a last year's presentation. Why I say that is because there's hardly any figures in here. So we don't quite know whether they're just tweaked a little bit here and there. You know? It's a very, very much a generic program. It's only in the renewable energy that they've quoted figures. And while I'm thinking of Honorable Gamere and his project in Spain and the link to the Northern Cape, I'm wondering to what extent they have investments offshore and in rand value, and what projects, and then what are the benefit schemes for the South African market growth and job growth and job creation. I'm also thinking of, I heard Honorable Gambede saying, what is the extent of the black involvement projects and so on. I would say, what is the extent of the economically disadvantaged being funded and financially and economically empowered? Because that to me is more important. You were talking about the IDC, which is big business. He wanted to create big industry, which I can understand. But I want to know how the economically disadvantaged are benefiting from this. Is it good enough to just give them a job, or are they benefiting in the investments that you are making at the IDC? In other words, I'm basically asking you, is the government practicing what it's preaching, or is it using big business to make rich people even richer? In other words, I'm actually talking about something. Like Honorable Gamere said, if you haven't got 5 million, you are. So the problem is, how are we been doing this thing? I can understand that you want to get big industries, but are people on the ground benefiting from it? Your soya and sorghum potential. Have you reached the full potential in the Eastern Cape? And I haven't done homework on sorghum and the rainfall and such cool that means. But I'm sure there's a lot of land available in the city Koma and the Koga region, which is close to the sea and could be used for that. I'm thinking of the Fingo land in the city Koma, or there's farms in the Long Kloof where there is land. Now, would that land be considered as the community share of investment to do such a project? Then, the wind farm component manufacturing at Kuka. I've forgotten the name of this company, and I had to restart because I lost the signal and I couldn't research it. So maybe you can just help me on the name of the manufacturing company at Kuka. The IDC business unit, you say, is into shipping. And if so, can you help me? It's on the first and the second and third slide. You see, your slides aren't numbered, so I'm a bit lost. Oh, there it is. You see, this is what I lost for watching the live call. Sorry. The shipping industry, because there are a couple of things that I want to do in the shipping industry, or that we could do in the shipping industry. Also, the IDC strategy you name tourism and creating destinations, which sounds very interesting, but I need to know what sort of destinations you are creating or want to create. I also see that there's a lot of money being spent even with trade industry by craft and film development, and our films are doing very well, which gives us a good sense of pride in South Africa. But
know, community radio stations are so important, and the Science and Technology Department is not helping us. Is there a way in which we can look at community radio stations, or can you advise us how to get the Science and Technology Department to assist us in that matter? And then there was a company, there was a big announcement that South Africa was going to develop HIV and AIDS drugs, and that the government was going into partnership with this company. And since then, I've not heard anything about it. So can you tell me whether you have been involved in that and what progress we've made there? Because it was going to be cheaper, and I know that government was going to give the guarantee, but maybe you can help. And then we talk about, it's almost something like Lonmin, but it's not Lonmin, it's another one close to that. When it comes to agricultural chemicals, you know that the chemicals that we're importing from overseas is really making the input costs of agriculture extremely important, expensive. The input cost in agriculture, as far as chemicals are concerned, is very, very high. And is there a way in which we can make a plan to reduce that, or have you got such a project, and is there an open window for us? And I think I must just stop there, because, oh, the last one I would say is, I see that you are aligned with the National Growth Plan and IBAP, and that you are bringing in the key elements, but not all, and the goals of the National Development Plan. But what part of it have you dropped? I do not understand where it affects you that you can do the key elements and the goals, but not that you can afford to drop some of it. So maybe you can just help me out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to know if the 3,355 jobs created with the biofuel cheese and the table products, how many of these jobs are sustainable as naturally or total being created, which you find after the process is ongoing? And also, with your recycling philosophy, what is the possibility of rolling it out to our public if you can be helping lots of poor people in some of the recycling, even in our homes?
I want to start out to say that I honestly believe that the IEC has established themselves as a flagship for DFIs in South Africa, and they've done wonderful work over years, many years and so on. If you've recently been to the Northern Cape and you've travelled the distances there, then you see the results of many of their investments in mining and alternate energy, so which is wonderful. But that doesn't mean that one doesn't choose to raise and criticism and contrastive contributions. The first issue that I want to raise is what you see here today is the food show of soldiers. How does the IDC support look at the moment? Maybe we can just get an indication of that, because at the end of the day, the buck doesn't stop here, the buck stops with the board. It's important that we also have exposure to that. Then the second issue, Chet, is we know that, can I say politically, the IDC restitutes under the EDP, and maybe that Mr. Bada is here. So my first curveball will be to Mr. Bada and the issue that I've raised with him. And that's the issue about the turnaround time that Mr. Honorable Gomez spoke about. And I'm going to use a typical example, because we're trying to get to the bottom of why does it take so long.
communion, so we can use it for communion.
Thank you, Chair. Now, the second issue is the one about the research and development, and we know that there's a lot of funds available for that, but many people struggle with that initial step. Now, maybe the IEC will tell us yes, but they're not the only institute, there's departments, there's other entities that assist and so on. But if you look at the small portion of the venture capital on your slides on page 13, wouldn't you think, Mr. CEO, that maybe you must do more in terms of that venture capital and risk exposure and make it possible for people with wonderful ideas to take it, once they conceptualize it, take it that step further. I can't exactly see how much is the venture capital there in terms of billions. In terms of the grant there, it seems relatively small. Then the next issue that I want to raise is there was a lot of exposure recently, the last 2 weeks, about what many people claim to be the biggest corporate fraud in South Africa for the last 20 years, the whole implosion of First Trust. Now I want to ask the CMC. I read somewhere that there was an application at the IDC, but does the IDC have any risk exposure, in terms of first-run, you know, the background to the story and all the negative publicity about that and so on. Yeah, then, Chair, coming from the Northern Cape, you know, I try to go around and engage people and so on. I'm happy to see that there's now two offices, the one in Kimberley and the one in Uppington. But, and yes, there was a lot of exposure and billions of rand in infrastructure projects and so on. But objectively and honestly, I think the Northern Cape can still do better. Firstly, in terms of the people that they are not negative about, but I think we can do better. And the Northern Cape can have better qualified and better people with due respect to the ones that there's a, Mr. CEO, there's people raised with me, there's complaints that say that the IDC office is not doing all the best that they can. So if you can maybe assist there. And then the issue that Honorable Amelia raised about the CSP at Uppington, in the brochure that we received from Abigoa, they were very proud to parade there that they've got a 51% share and the IDC has got a 49%. Now the chairperson then rules me out of order then explained, but now I'm South Africa, so I want to raise it again. My understanding is it's not the IDC that's got that share of it. It's companies that got the money from the IDC. Now linked to this whole issue about community involvement and not continuously making the rich people richer. That is the issue. Who are those 49%? Because the CSP plant is up in the market, it's a 2.something billion rand plant. So certainly there must be spin-offs.
You're the only one from the Northern Cape.
Sorry?
You're the only one from the Northern Cape,
yeah? So there must be spin-offs. And so on. And maybe you might engage them and go away to say, no, you're wrong. We don't have the 49% share of it. It's the other company. Then, Chair, the IDC has got a wonderful footprint in Africa also. But what we've seen today through the presentation is only what happened in South Africa. Give us some success stories about what happened in South Africa, what happened in the rest of Africa, and so on. Then, I'm almost done, Chair. The other day I was somewhere at the airport. I can't remember where. And to my amazement, I saw a plane with an IDC banner on it. Does the IDC have a plane? I don't know if I was mistaken, but if that's the case, what is it worthwhile to have an IDC, a plane at the IDC? We're trying to keep the SAA in the air, but the IDC has got its own plane. And if you've got planes, how many planes do you have enough? What are the cost to keep those things going? I mean, Siva will come here. But I don't know if I'm mistaken, but the IC and Siva is now the sort of head partner. They married. We must speak about your partner to us so that we can know. Because my understanding is the CEO is the one that many of us are trying to address. How do we get the smaller investor and so on? Second last feature, localization. Localization in terms of IDEA is a very, very, very important element. And you would learn, Mr. Dr. Rob Davis, the Minister of DPI, will continuously speak about industrialization and the importance of that. Maybe you know that. You come to boast about all the wind farms that have been put out there to take honor from the fundamentals from. Not one of those components are built or manufactured as we think in South Africa. They import those everything from the towers to the blades to the motors to the gearboxes in containers from wherever, from China, from Germany, whatever. So the very noble objective of localization is not coming as we speak from off the ground. Maybe through the Department of Energy and EDD and so on, there will be other incentives, but as we speak, that's not happening. Then the last question and the $1 million question. Is the IEC also going like the ENI has to run out of money at some stage? I don't want to raise the issue about Lomo and that thing. That's a very interesting debate. But do you tend to recap funds at some stage? Because there's a need for this type of DFI fund. That's my question. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lord, and Greg. I think that it's quite a mouthful from all the members and CEOs. I've also just got a couple of concerns, and most of it I will appear in writing. Because it's something that happens where I've had a challenge from my co-chair in the cluster on Rovamera, and we have tried the IDC, and we have tried CIFA, and we failed. Where we have recommended our constituents to go to this institution. For argument's sake, the IDC in Johannesburg did not play such a big role because we put up the current Cape Town office. Let's use the Cape Town office and see whether things are helpful. So your regional offices are not always that helpful. To be honest with you, they are really, without even hearing to what the person or what the people has been saying, one of the questions you took from. But the people have been saying they've just been chased away. Rude. The reception was very rude to say that. Look, and from one of your slides, say that the IDC's working partner are also the DTI. And as you know, that the DTI are now focusing on corporates. The Minister of Trade and Industry has expressed himself on corporates as one of those players also. Excuse me. But it was so blatantly by an IEC official to these people that look for the constituency that we are not interested. IEC has got no interest in cooperatives. Now you must just clarify that for me, please. The other one is on your bioethanol. You say that the IEC is the sole shareholder in the 2 billion land project. But is that the same project that the IEC is driving? For the other partners is the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. There is also a joint venture between the Central Energy Fund and the Sugar Beet South Africa. If that is the same project, then how can the IDC be the sole shareholder? What about these other entities that stay on that? But like I said, on the other hand, I will definitely raise with your CEO and the office, that's over to you and your team. You know, one thing of being a luxury of being a CEO is that you can delegate, just before you delegate,
picture for him. I don't know whether this will form part of the list that will be submitted, but I wanted to be specific on the talk on any successful projects the IDC has funded in rural areas. And hope you understand that the rural areas, and just that rural areas. If none, what are the potential projects that are in the foreseeable future? If there are any challenges in doing projects in really rural areas, what are those challenges? You can answer that fine, but this is going to come in the least that.
Let me just, before I answer, see or qualify that. You know, the housing, the head office, has been a great assistance. But I'm worried about your regional offices. And I think that is a cold face of the IDC. That's the showcase of the IDC. I have people watching there and says that we are coming for help and they have been treated away or treated like they don't exist or the IDC has no time for them. It gives a bad reflection on the role of the organization. Honorable Cunningham?
Chairperson, when we do those projects, we must also do them for province. And we name the project that Honorable Gamelius asked for. And the investment and the jobs created. So it's a whole nice little spreadsheet that will give us a good view. And when we look at the Free State, you know, the Free State has quite a strong manufacturing component there at Bolshevelis. What has happened to that? Because it's not working anymore.
Okay, I see.
Thanks to the member and for those questions and comments and things. As I know, I say we've always learned from this action. It also helps to continue to build a strong organization. You have indicated, Chair, that I will delegate. I will not disappoint you, which is why I brought this meeting. No one will talk about the welfare. The welfare team is forum, they'll talk about it. Your observation is correct, Chair. This project has changed over time. But I don't need, I don't understand that. They can explain a bit. That we have time, how we've ended up being the only one going with Instagram, the only one, and what are we doing to make sure that we change that situation. Chair, the request for the list to be each rural, black, SME successes, and not so successful, we will provide, Chair. I want to make a request that we provide under a confidential list, because when we find people to sign confidentiality, but respect the committee, that they will be treated in that confidentiality. Because in some instances we do find committee members, and they would appreciate that we. So we'll provide that when we have that, where we classify each list. I mean, for the previous year, we've approved over 250 odd businesses, but different sizes and shapes. So we will do that so that we can do the project, we can keep it perspective. We have all of the steps, and we have the scoping of Chair, it would help when we define MME. Because of our size, we don't know why common, which is why we have CIFA, which is the creation of SAMA and COMA, imagination of those. So that in areas where the IDC, because of size, we are unable to target. So I think even in the also say, Chair, we did not present the performance for this year because the performance is going to happen first at the end of August. So there will be a book which is almost done. We were just waiting for input from the shareholder. In fact, it's very down. So once we get input from shareholders, in any event, in terms of the requirements, at the end of August, the book must be all the members of parliament, our book, we can tell students of what we've done. From that, then it will be evident of how we've done this. So what we've been presented is the plan, which is the plan from this year that we're in, which is not the same as last year. So there is indeed differences. Some of the strategies which we
I think the invitation was that just the annual performance plan for 2030 to 2040, the financial report, the audited report, we have not dealt with that. So members, that will still come if that's right.
Thank you very much. So let me give Noah, a chance to explain the biofuel, the time, the number of the wild type delegate, all the other questions which we will address all of them.
Thank you, sir. I think on the biofuel project, initially when you started the project, it was in cooperation with the Department of Energy, and it supported the biofuel cabinet framework of the strategy document in which the IEC and the Central Energy Fund was tasked with creating or initiating the biofuel industry for South Africa. On the back of that, the IEC, Central Energy Fund and the East Cape Rural Department of Rural Affairs created an entity which also participated as its core partner, Agricultural Research and Development Agency. So those are the three entities that were tasked with undertaking the study in order to establish a viable biofuel industry for the country. And the next study yielded that, amongst others, the Cradock project in the Eastern Cape would be an appropriate project for the very fact it was going to utilize the inhabitants in a rural area. It was going to use underutilized land where there was not a lot of empowerment for black or farmers, and it would support the strategy of land acquisition by the Department of Rural Affairs, Land Affairs in the Eastern Cape, and they call that strategy a proactive land acquisition strategy, and the biofuel plant would provide an offtake to support those farmers. If I'm correct, the department has already purchased 6,000 hectares of land, which would then support the biofuel plant, and we would provide offtake to that. That entity, ARDA, is now managing that those farms, which have been handed over to the ministry. But that is not within the IEC scope of the project. It's outside the scope, but we are strongly supporting that the development of that. Of those activities by land affairs and rural development to support those new farmers, new commercial farmers, providing them offtake, and we will also establish what we call provide a support mechanism for them, meaning also in touch with National Treasury and land bank, who will provide funding for those farmers. So I think that effort is well coordinated. Other Eastern Cape is also looking at other smaller rural areas within the Transkei that has potential to produce grain soil, and they're developing a strategy to provide support for those farmers as well, mainly in Port St. John's and Transkei areas. And there those, the target for the project is that 10% of the grain soil will come from those areas in the Eastern Cape, but mainly to support the small-scale farmers. In terms of the equity, I hope that the initial equity was that IEC would only be a 36% shareholder, and the lead shareholder would be the Central Energy Fund, because obviously they involved in the fuel industry, have a bigger presence in that, only Moscow would form quite a good fit for the Central Energy Fund. and Ardell had an option to acquire 16% equity, giving us the total 100%. Over time, when we completed the rentable feasibility study in 2011, the IEC board approved our 36% shareholding, and then it was left to the Central Energy Fund and ARDA to also get approval for their shareholding and to provide funding for that to back that equity. However, in 2012, Central Energy Fund came back to the IEC to say that National Treasury, due to some legislative reminder, they would not get National Treasury approval to invest in a greenfield hydro block. Hence, the IEC board decided then to underwrite that equity for SEF for the time being, because we felt the project was strategic and important enough that we don't drop it, that we continue with it, and then IEC established a project team to manage the implementation of that project. After that, we still have the option to acquire 16% equity stake, and it's still trying to find the money through the Eastern Cape province and wait on them. But at the moment, we also underwriting after, because we can't have a project that is underfunded. Because once we sign contracts, we create obligation, and then someone needs to fulfill the obligation. The project is 60% equity funded and 40% debt funded. So that's the
thing. You know, the question on the other areas, whether we can take
on the use of biofuels in Alabama? On the biofuels. Thank you, Chair. Just to follow up on the biofuels, so it seems to me that there's a big direction to say that biofuels will only be generated for as the product come from source and not made, because at some stage there was in the agricultural industry there were big programs specifically for the free state industry, and then there was this whole debate about the food security and the supply of maize and so on. Am I right to say that?
Now, may I answer that question? I think you're right. Vital strategy actually talks to what crops can be used for biofuel, and they basically left out food crops. So it established the two main crops was sugarcane and grain sorghum, because they don't impact on food security, and also on the arable land, which is dedicated to maize. The grain sorghum grows well on dry land areas with low potential oil. And the other crop which we investigated in the Eastern Cape is sugar. So they also mentioned sugar. So the license, in order to qualify for the license, you have to look at those crops specifically, otherwise the license will be denied.
Just before you go any further, I just want to welcome the special envoy. Welcome to the committee, Honorable Member Alan Mukuni. I hope you enjoyed the victory party of ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, and you were one of the guys that really had to keep a check on President Mugabe, and he was working very closely with him. And welcome back, Honorable. Over to you.
Can I take the other questions on the grain sorghum, because a lot of it is talking to the supply of grain sorghum. And I just want to give a little insight in how the grain sorghum offsets for the market going to be happening. Our expectation is grain sorghum can be grown around the country and it can support small growers. The IDT is working with all the major cooperatives and with Grain SA in training small farmers to grow sorghum, and there's already a large pool of small farmers that have planted grain sorghum over the last couple of years. And the IDT would support that endeavor, and our program for grain sorghum will be to the local cooperatives and targeting the empowerment factor in the supply of grain sorghum to the farm. So our belief initially, in terms of our license, we are required to at least procure 30% of all the feedstock from small-scale rural farmers initially, but over time we intend to grow that to a large extent, and also support the local economy. So I think there were two questions in that regard. I think terms of the jobs, there was a question of, is the job sustainable? And the, and the, and the answer is yes. Because the most of the jobs, about 2,000 of the 1,800 to 2,000 jobs come from the farm. And grain sorghum is an annual crop. You grow it every year. And the plant requires about 250,000 tons of grain sorghum. And that will talk to you about over 100,000 hectares of land. So if you look at it, even at a very low job creation rate like this, you work on 25 hectares per job, then you will get to the numbers that we are talking about. Other jobs are in the, on the plant, we create about 400 jobs, and then we create jobs in the logistics. If you remember, we have to transport the grain sorghum in, and we have to ship out the ethanol around the country. So that would create a number of jobs in the logistics chain, and also the maintenance and all that in terms of the plant going ongoing operations. And what the plant will do is also feedback a lot of money into the local economy, because all our goods and services will be bought from the local region.
Thanks,
Noah.
So let me maybe a quick one, she's in the other one. What is the question in the culture? IT is 29% and the community is 20%. IT funded the community, that sounds like an Agumawa 51. So it's not the shareholding of the system. The IT does provide also debt facilities. So the observation that these are quite significant numbers that indeed they are in terms of money. Now, in terms of the bidding process, which, as you said, now we are now studying for wind, solar, PV, there are minimum requirements for local content. But what we do as IDC, when we participate in some of those, we insist on people not just meeting the minimum, but increasing. However, we do understand there are some limitations. And the observation says some of the components will be important. Indeed, in the case, some of them will need to come in containers because of economies of scale. But what we try to do is, when we fund these, we say, let us pack what is required from the DC. To what extent can we maximize the local content? The same point could be made for wind and photovoltaic solar energy. In the same way, no, if you use and choose, those will be important. Largely because of economies of scale, and also the perfect technology. But if you look at all other components, then I think that this thing that should be manufactured locally, because then we'll put steel, things. However, we can only have the leverage on the one that we fund. In fact, our green unit, the green institute called green, has numerous engagements with the Department of Energy and National Treasury to give input in terms of increasing the levels of local content, try and influence that, and we've been successful in terms of the interest of that. But we can't insist on the ones that do not come to us for funding. So, but for us, the minimum requirements we have present, and tomorrow, our board investment committee will be looking at the round 3 for all of those, and the issues of local content is something that is common in the leading of local content formulas over and above what is in terms of the future. So, but I do accept that there will be on the first thrust, consider IDC is a source, I think, about 123 million, which together we're working with the bank, because I mean this is the biggest fraud I think I've seen in my life. I mean, people lie, people cheat, and so but hopefully the legal process will be turned off on that. The third part is there's also people that are employed in this process that will also cause this deceit of the trade activity might actually be used the job. So I was looking at yesterday there was an article I think in the news there that said even I think Capitec because they don't provide financing to those employees, they'll also be affected. But I think this is one of the biggest
question on investment offshore, when we do have a question here. What Shetty was saying is in the presentation that over and above investing in the continent, in Africa, continent, we do support South African companies when they export their goods and services outside of the continent. So we find that we have investment. Not that other investment, we have exposures. There's only one investment where we have, which is outside of South Africa, and the IDC, outside of Africa, we have just over 3% stake in a company called Accenox. It's a Spanish company. It owns, I think, 6% of Columbus Stainless Steel. The IDC owns the balance. There was a share swap when the company was done. That's the only one that where we hold investment. Other than that, we have assisted a number of companies when they export their products. Some of them will be in construction companies. I remember we have something in Uzbekistan. The question is, do we fund? Maybe I should start it by Sylvester said he will present his comment on the composition of the team. Sylvester, I think the point is made. In fact, when I realized, I thought my first comment would be to apologize to the chair that the composition is not very valid. But I can give the committee an assurance that 100% of the IDC employees are in the field. And they are in different levels. It just so happens this time that we only have a lawyer on this business. Chair, if you cast your mind back on some of the delegations that are brought, it has been said, but I will. Probably this time it's the best time to move. The question was, do we support the something similar to what any NEF is supporting in the particular instance where it has created a lot of interest? Chair, we try by all means that we support companies that manufacture. We do allow instances where companies might start importing. If there's a clear aim that they are creating a market for the business in manufacturing, because we have created a market. I will not comment on this one any effort any effort. But I think when we engage with this, I think we need to create the content. But what we do is the content that I want to say, let's create the market and then we want to support it. That's the comment. And there was another question about whether are we going to run out of money? If we're not prudent, we will do it. If we just stand in the corner, we are reckless, we give everybody money who comes to the door, we will do that. In fact, my understanding is that the NEF is not necessarily because they are bankrupt. It's because the capital that they had to disperse has allowed them to also grow the business a bit more. We are talking to them to see what else could be done. What we've done in the plans that we have, in the 5-year plan that we have, that the stress testing that we have, there's no indication that the ICC won't issue that out of money. But you have to go. If you're prudent, you just keep everybody who comes and says, you know, government give us money, no criteria or anything, then that's that. But we have processes and systems in place. We're not perfect, but that's something that's always at the back of our mind. In fact, even the shareholder, continually ensure that we will ask the question that we've been diligent in applying our steps of the duty to sustain it to long term. Chair, there was a specific question on the bank. Maybe my homework before was shooting with you a couple of questions. I'm going to go to the bank, but I think he probably has more info than I have.
You're right, initially it took a very long time to get this project to bed. There was an issue of an MOU between the Economic Development Department and the GTI, which needs to be finalized. And that took a pretty long time. When that was primary, that file was important to me, prior to that was legal process. When I received that file, we have to show the implementation of the project, and that file was received about 3 or 4 months ago. And when we looked at the proposal, the underlying proposal, it wasn't financially sustainable. There were a couple of things. One was that costs were understated. There wasn't any provision for repairs and maintenance to the machinery, at least, and this business is capital intensive, we need that. Secondly, the commissions that were required by the franchisor was quite high. And as a result, the corporate owner would have actually earned less than the minimum wage. There were also other costs, obvious costs, that should have been included, that wasn't included. So the viability of the business was overstated. From a contractual point of view, we're looking at the various contracts that was devised by the franchisor. And we found that there is certain areas of friction. For example, in one of his proposed agreements with the cooperative, he stated, in one of the talks, he said that his attorney had actually did that agreement, where if he acted in a criminal way, he would be protected from any sort of litigation. And clearly, this was outside of work. This was far more in line with the kind of work that I did in Tifada right now. We were committed to the project. We are still committed to the project. We understand policy in the area. Based on what we saw, we could have actually rejected this because it wasn't fine, even after we had that agreement. We then took it to the IDC, and our mandate was for the IDC to make this thing work. And currently, the parties are in negotiation. I get copied on to all of the correspondents, and I see that they're daily negotiations, and we arrive into a point where we actually find each other. I think we are about 90% there. Once that is finalized, the IDC, together with FIFA would be the agency that would implement this project. This project would then be rolled out.
Thanks
for the
leadership.
Thanks for the
chair, let me
take
a question.
I'm your
waiting.
No, not
my waiting. Okay. Thank you. You see, I'm not necessarily so concerned about the detail. I'm concerned about the principle. The principle is that the ECF is a fund that's been created by donor funding from the European Union. Now this potential entrepreneurs come and they do 9% right in terms of the government's agenda. The Saxon cooperatives, one of them, use donor funding, creating sustainable projects, creating jobs and so on. Takes 2 years to get to that point, say no, but this one actually doesn't belong here, it belongs somewhere. That is the problem. Now, I don't understand how the ECF funding, donor funding, which is supposed to address the social economic issues in our country, how do an ECF project end up at the IEC and then at CIFA? The second argument there is, what is the juncture between IDC and CIFA? With the CEO indicated that CIFA is now the, with due respect to them, the little brother of the big brother. And now that entrepreneur must first go through the IDC. Once the big brother says yes, then it goes to CIFA. It's another delay. I don't understand that logic. Maybe I'm missing something. Right, answer those three issues, Mr. Vada. What about the ECF? What is your engagement with the IDC? What is the role that CIFA plays in the process? Because at the end of the day, we politicians, people come to us and say, in this way, I've put in this thing 3 years back, government is useless. I don't want to say that. I want to say government is working.
I think to start with the principle of the 10th thing that was outstanding, the 10th thing with principle issue. The principal issue was that the residual that would have been left over for these women in the cooperative would be far less than minimum wage. if we took the project in the way that was presented to us. Prior to the project coming to me for 2 years, yes, I acknowledged that the problem is far too long. When it came to me, I had to apply my mind to it. I mean, even though it's EU funded, we cannot just irrationally just roll out the project when we know that that the franchisor will make a lot of money off this thing. And at the end of the day, these women who was in the Rumble bakery, and they have to run 14 hours a day to make it sustainable, would get less than minimum wage. So we've got the IDC work because they have the skills, they have the legal capacity, they know how to work with contracts and so on. We've asked them to be our implementing agents because we don't have the capacity to do that within the IDC then looked at CIFA and said together they would jointly roll out that project. The IDC would provide guidance, but CIFA would do the actual rollout. In fact, in terms of the ECF funding, they've asked us to employ a contractor to roll it out. What we are doing is that we are asking IDC and CIFA to do it.
Your bakery questions, I mean, you can always chase with EDD about that.
I must say, Mr. Bana has been very helpful, so I'm not criticizing you. I'm just writing the principle here. Thank you, Mr. Bana.
There was a question on, the project is Kikatina, where we were going to partner with Lanza, the company is Lanza. The status is they have put Lanza now as a second partner, they have their own issues back home. I think last week, Swiss company, so presently, IDC is looking at it and trying to find somebody else because we need a technical partner. The project is not dead, but we just have to find another person with the other expertise so that we can integrate that. That's all. The point that came in a number of comments by the member, the accessibility, Shaky will talk about the number of people we have and all that. The point I just want to make, Shaky, we do take note of the experiences are not so pleasant that the members have encountered when they engage with our officers, and we do accept that that's our part of it. That's the first experience that people have. And we didn't want to go back and show us we're stuck in that. I think this is the point I always make to our teams as we engage with them, to say, you're the first line of defense. If you dismiss people, the whole of it is not. And I will take this, in fact, I will see all the regional managers. Now, there's a question on the jet, but I think the owner will remember it actually stepped out, so I will wait to see. And the question was, can you see the jet? But then I'll come back to
you. I want to answer your question on the jet. I don't know if you just wish to check the new quartet for call.
The question was, the IDC has a plane. The IDC has a jet. So you are right, the tail was blue with an IDC logo. I think you were maybe in Nigeria, elsewhere in one of the states, or in some of these small towns. That was last week, I think, when you saw that. Shall we use it with this jet? Very convenient, particularly when we go into the rest of Africa. It's used by the team largely to do the tradition. But also when we stop up, when we go to Kimberley or go to all of these other towns, where there's no regular shape flight. In fact, that was last week to check. We took a team because we visited
Port Elizabeth, then East London. So we needed to do all of that, engaging with business. That was part of that delegation. That's why I think that's where you have seen it. So it's used very widely, Chair. But what we also do, Chair, when we don't use it, actually it gets chucked by others. So I can make sure that it actually does indeed work. So it's not a toy. I can promise the committee members it's not a toy. It actually works. Sometimes I don't even know where the teams are going to be. Due to teams are actually using it. A lot of the African colleagues.
Now, CEO, just to interrupt you there. Did the IDC own the jet prior to 1941?
Yes, sir. So, you know, I can remember the jet. But it's not saying that naturally, I think it's old. So, it just gets changed. And also,
I was just curious about why you decided it just showed me it was prior to that. The jet was only used, if we can recall, central research, was only used for certain duties and to fly board members around.
Thanks for
the decision to make. But maybe
before 94 you were flying
with Mr. Leclerc. That's why I know.
We've taken note that the committee would want to engage with the directors. I hope we'll pass this message back to even the shareholders. But I can just quickly mention who are the board members, just for the committee members to know. The chairperson is Mumpia Shaka, and she was previously the CEO of AXA. And then we have myself, my name is Lyle Bethlehem. We have Chris, who is the CEO of the National Health Fund. We have Chung Coupling, we have Brian Davis. We have Brian Dennis, who is the CEO of ECHO, and then we have Lindani Lamini, we have Bobby Cotto, we have Shedrick Mapeta, we have Roger Pitot, we have Cedric van Rensberg, we have Nimrod Zak, who is the Deputy Director General at the CIA, we have Busi Mabuza, and we have Mr. Zerinda Mabaki.
I think that we will see on the financial report that will come up.
Thank you, Chair. I think the annual report, there's a note where you see how many they've attended and what they're giving. Chair, let me ask, Shakir has been eager and waiting for the conversation. Should you, Chair, be happy if you would take the rest of the question? Start off with maybe a comment on some of the things which may have been missing from the presentation. Apologies if there's anything that you would have liked to see if there was no delivered in the on something like on the IFA it's something there will be we can come back again, we can maybe bring IFA with us and they can do a detailed presentation on their focus areas. In terms of the rest of the African continent, there are a number of investments that we have made. Some of the things include, the biggest one is Mozart Mountain in Mozambique. But there have been things that we've done in areas like hotels, mining, working on some voluntary projects. So there are two different sectors where we do have some projects at different stages of development. So some have already been proven successful, some are still relatively early there. So we do have a mix, and maybe next time we come to present include some of those examples. The question about the company making ice cream and companies that create more jobs and less jobs, or do we find, in fact, we have a mix of companies that we find in different sectors. So we do find a number of companies which are capital intensive, but also companies which are labor intensive. I don't know if it's the same company that you are referring to, but we have funded in fact a company in the Eastern Cape which is making ice cream and different fruits, pineapples and different, so maybe it is possible the same company that we have funded. So I have a commodity.
Yeah, Chair, for example, there's two things that I see. When I was thinking, I actually asked the question about,
after IDC offices, this was your comment in terms of the type of decision and the attitude, and for that there's no excuse, and I'm not even trying to give it. But in terms of the relations and of offices and so on, in fact, we do acknowledge that it can be difficult to get to those offices, it can be difficult to travel. What we have been trying to do, as I mentioned in the presentation, is we're trying to grow a number of offices, but we also have been, as part of that, we've been setting up what we call satellite offices, so that someone goes maybe at least once a week or something to the different offices to try and improve our access. The other thing that we try to do is we're engaging with different institutions, different government institutions, to see if we can find ways where we can get information to them or business to try and improve the access. It's going to be difficult for us to achieve the type of access that, let's say, host office and so on has because of the cost and so on, but we need to be trying to be creative and try and make sure there's as much access as possible. On on the figures in terms of this presentation, in fact, this was a generic presentation, and in fact, when we report on our performance, we'll bring in a whole lot of different figures as well. What we tried to do was highlight some of the things we have changed from the previous year. But our strategy doesn't change dramatically every year, because we have to have a long-term impact on industry. And we do make changes in terms of some of our focus areas where we think there isn't a need to improve. The name of the wind farm business, the name is DCD. That manufactures the wind farm business. They supply wind farms. They manufacture wind towers. On the shipping, I think on the slide it's not totally clear. We call, in fact, we should avoid acronyms. We have a department which calls SHIP, Strategic High Impact Project. So it's not necessarily focused on the shipping industry.
The president has got AD project, and they've got church.
As you confuse it more, we support SIP and we are SIP department. In terms of the destinations that we're trying to create, maybe to give a few examples. In the Northern Cape, the intention of the North Cape government is to set itself up as a tourism destination for action sports, adventure sports, and so on. So we're working with them on trying to develop that region as a destination for those types of activities. On the Cape again, North Coast, we're looking at setting up a beach resort, and in Pumalanga, we're trying to set up in some relatively underdeveloped area for destination. So those are some examples of the types of things that we can when we talk destinations.
Can I interrupt? About the Northern Cape and this what we call the extreme destination. Is the IC involved in the Bloodhound project and the skateboard park? Why I raise it here is that there was a lot of hype about the Bloodhound project, and this person that wants to do the fast land speed record on a fan day close to the Kalahari. But it seems that there's also a problem now there again that the project might have come off. But I'll wait.
On the NDP, maybe just to clarify what I was saying, it's not that we're dropping anything that's in the NDP. The NDP is a policy adopted by the South African government. What I was talking about is that the NDP covers a wide range of areas. for example, demographics and the aspects which I see as an institution doesn't get involved. So wherever there's anything related to economic development or where IDC can play a role, we would play a role in supporting it. But if it's something which is outside our mandate, which is a mandate of another state agency or another government department, then we wouldn't necessarily play a role. So it's not that we are picking and choosing what we want to do.
One check is the achievement that we share with as much as we could. There was a specification on venture capital, that you say the size is small and competitive. What we did was when we started, we used to use wholesale hotel mechanics. IDC allocated money to a number of venture capital companies. That's when we started, that was about 1998, I think, somewhere around there. What we found was that people are not doing it in pure venture capital, they just need the money to do private equity, which is similar to the IDC. So what we then did is we went to the board and asked for 250 million to say it's half a venture capital. So that money was invested and the team came back again for the second round for about 250. So in total, we had a direct investment of about half a billion. We ring fence it deliberately because venture capital in its nature is very high. Not only do you have to be very close to the business, but you have to be very picky because you have people are passionate about the technology, which in some businesses might not work. And the hit rate, I think, that's been there. It's sometimes less than 10%. So we have to be very bright that we don't expose the whole book. But it's something that we are always open up, so we're looking at new technologies for countries with very high levels of innovation and we use the venture that we do that. What we try and do, Chair, is side by side with it, we also run a program which is in the past and is funded by the Department of Trade and Industry called the Support Program for Industrial Innovation Spike, and which we've run for all the years. So we try and link those for the source of funds that come when you try to do technology. But if you were to look at just the absolute number in relation to the other, this is indeed small. But the risks there are even much, much higher. So where if there's more need, we go back to the point as well.
On the question of whether we support co-ops and whether, in fact, the answer is simple. We would support a co-op, and in fact, we do work with co-ops. We have some programs which are in fact targeted at co-ops. So I think that's a simple answer. In terms of do we focus only on big business and making the rich richer? We fund, in fact, quite a range of businesses. In fact, our minimum facility at the moment is in India, which will move up slightly as FIFA develops its capacity. But the majority of the businesses that we support by number, in fact, are small to medium sized businesses. Some of them are, in fact, entrepreneurs starting business for the first time. So we actually part of our role is to try and help create a vibrant sector. If you look at some of the sectors, for example, in clothing, textiles, and film industry, and so on, virtually everyone we find there are small businesses. In areas like the metals industry, it ranges from small to large.
There's a question on the fund committee report, committee registration to the opportunity. Chair, we funded two so far, there's one in Bogo, and there's one in Gauteng, which is new, Gauteng or part of the fund. It's the original one. So, but the dynamics of the chair, we have to make sure that, I mean, the revenue stream and all of that, so we need to apply our minds and all of that, so, but it is something that we need to look at, chair. But not all of them, they have their own priorities, which we have to be very careful about.
On the understanding, I think the question was, can this I'm not sure I've got the context of the question, but I can talk to we have a unit of research that has research, but that research is predominantly for IT. And then there are instances where we are asked by government on a need basis, which we don't target. What we, there's a cost associated to this, and we have to try and balance it. Now, if we end up being just a third institution, the sum of that means we have to increase the number of people and all of this. So we do the guarding so that we make sure that once we do the research, there's such very early business, and they do publish. If we look at our exposure, both those that have drawn and those that have not drawn the amount, it's outside of the 10-12% of the total IDC is outside of South Africa. So that would include Zimbabwe. The biggest one is Mozambique because of the Mozambique, we own 24%. But if Zimbabwe, Zambia, in fact, most of the site, we don't have anything in Angola. Sectors, is still mining in terms of the quality. What we also do is we provide lines of credit to the other developer finance institutions in North Africa. For example, in Zimbabwe, we have the relationship with the Agribank of Zimbabwe and the IDC, that we've given a line of credit to Agribank of Zimbabwe, where then we should be able to own them. The relationship is almost, you can say, almost to development finance institutions, development finance institutions. It's not only that one, we have a similar one with a bank called PTA Bank, International Bank for East Africa. We also have the same line of credit with, although they have not done that, with one of the ECOWAS, the BC Bank. So we do have. How we deal with that, Chair, we have in fact two projects, two gold mines, which we were partners with, which are exposed to that we're trying to resolve, and I don't think we have a solution yet in terms of how we address that. What has been happening is the project itself has been reaching the support and also about to try and address the issue of the organization. That's the only exposed. But it is something that we make sure we use and use as we do more.
No, he doesn't. He was very generous, actually. Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you very much for the opportunity. And thank you, Sophia, as well, for the kind of opportunity to, you know, come and be part of this generation and observe life, what it is that happens in this building. Thank you very much.
No, it's Women's Month. The men are all disciplined. You have the privilege. You have the privilege. You have the privilege now. So don't worry about that. And CWT also generous with the performance officers. Some of us went to Fortune is around the corner, and some of us doesn't. Many people doesn't know whether they come back, and maybe we can also be putting our CVs as a member of parliament. Don't get a performance officer, so maybe we can also get I know that the ANC will be back in full force after 24 hours. But from our side, from the committee side, Mr. Kriener, we want to thank you and your team for a wonderful presentation, and also the preparedness and the willingness to honor the invitations of this committee. It just shows that, you know, always I say, my viewpoint is, if we want to succeed in government, we need to work together. We can't work against each other. Yeah, some of us sometimes sit there and think it's good. It makes us flowers going or to trash or to tear the parastatals and departments apart. But it doesn't solve the problem. The only way we can solve the problem is to put heads together and find other ways and find solutions to solve the problems and taking the country forward. And we want to thank for the IDC and your guidance for the leading role that you play in assessing the communities out there. It is a big, big responsibility. As the IDC is one, as I think the oldest CFI in the country, and you have taken this DFI, organization, program, where you go, IDC, one of the members of the OCC was so upset and said, I have to calm him down, so you're going to see the IDC. Don't rattle the spanish with the IDC's questions. We want to say thank you, and we hope the IDC further prosperity and goodness in the endeavors further. And whatever you do in life, don't overdo it, but just do it. Find pleasures as a choice. Members, you can just stay for 1 minute, as I'm just going to run a logistics for the oversight for tomorrow. But we want to thank you, everybody.